We are studying end time characters to know as our part of our series on the end of the world. We have looked at events in the future, I think in the very near future, I hope in the very near future. We've looked at the rapture of the church before the great and terrible day of the Lord, before the tribulation period. Then we looked at the first series of seven judgments, the seven seal judgments. And that first seal judgment was a white horse, a rider on a white horse that we believe to be a man we call the Antichrist. And last time we were together, we looked at Antichrist as one of the end time characters to know. The Antichrist is the coming world ruler of the tribulation period who will initially present himself as a strong leader to unite the world in peace. But he'll eventually declare himself to be God and demand the entire world's worship. That's the Antichrist. And we looked at that last time, looked at him in depth, and we compared Jesus Christ to the Antichrist. The word anti means opposite. He's the opposite of Jesus Christ in every respect. And we compared and contrasted the Antichrist with Jesus Christ. And we saw other names for Antichrist throughout the Scriptures. He's called the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians. He's called the son of perdition in 2 Thessalonians and in Revelation. He's called that wicked in 2 Thessalonians. It means that wicked one. He is the wicked one. He's called the little horn. Daniel refers to him in many places, calls him the little horn, calls him a king of fierce countenance and the prince that shall come. And then Daniel and Revelation both refer to him as the beast. That's the Antichrist. We talked about the character of the Antichrist last time we were together. And what we talked about was that he is the culmination of what unsaved, unregenerate man has always wanted. Man has always wanted to be left alone by God. Does not want God. Man wants to exalt himself and be able to do things by his power, be able to say, look at me, look what I did. And Antichrist is the culmination of that. And so where we left off was talking about that through the ages. I want to talk about the spirit of Antichrist. Before we do, let's ask the Lord's help. Father, give us great help today as we look into your word. Help us, Lord God, to understand what your word says about the spirit of Antichrist. And then the other things that we'll talk about as we move into the next character to know the dragon today. Lord God, help. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the spirit of Antichrist. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10 in your Bible. First book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Genesis is the book of beginnings. That's what the word Genesis actually means, and that's what we find in Genesis. And when I've taught through Genesis before, I've pointed out that every loose end that becomes loose in Genesis, we find tied back up by the end of the book. Every can of worms that is opened in Genesis, we find closed by Revelation. Genesis, let's start at 10 verse 8. I'm talking about the spirit of Antichrist, the determination by man to do something apart from God and to have this great, create this great world before God, without God, that is. Let's start at verse 8, Genesis 10, verse 8. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calne in the land of Shinar. Babel. What do we know about Babel? Let's look at it in chapter 11. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime they had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, they have all one language, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Very interesting. So Nimrod, the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. That's where they rebelled against God. Remember what God told Noah and his sons when they got off of the ark after the flood? What did he tell them to do? Anybody remember? Replenish the earth. Fill the world. Replenish the earth. Have sons and daughters and spread out over all the earth. What did they say they wanted to do in Babel? They don't want to be scattered. Verse 4, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. And they wanted to rebel against God, motivated by Nimrod. It was an exercise in human ability, an exercise in human potential. What can we do without God? That's the spirit of Antichrist that we see today. We find it in 1 John, near the back of your New Testament. Not John, not the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, but 1 John, near the back of your New Testament, chapter 2. Look at verse 18. "Little children," this is John the aged. He's maybe in his 90s when he writes this. "Little children," he's writing to other believers who he might at this point be the oldest Christian on the face of the earth, and he's writing, or at least the longest saved person, saved under Christ. And he's writing to those that have been saved less time than him. He calls them little children, a loving term of endearment. But he tells them, it is the last time. Well, John was writing this over 1900 years ago, and he said, it is the last time. Well, how much more can we say today? How much more can we just look out into the world and say today, it is the last time? Now watch what he says here. "And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come." Show of hands. How many have heard, have ever heard, there's somebody coming called the Antichrist? You heard that? You heard that? You've heard the Antichrist shall come. What's he say? "Even now there are many Antichrists." Whereby, that's how we know that it is the last time. Well, if there were many Antichrists in John's day, well, there are much, many, many more today. And that's how we know it's the last time. Now, notice they, verse 19, they. Who's the they? The Antichrists, plural. They went out from us. So they had claimed to be part of us. He's saying us, believers, the visible church on earth. They had claimed to be a part of us. They went out from us. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, made known, revealed, that they were not all of us. Apostasy. Those who have claimed to know the name of Jesus Christ, but have clearly shown that they do not. Apostasy is the spirit. They are Antichrist. They are motivated by the spirit of Antichrist. Let's look a little bit deeper into this apostasy. Turn to chapter 4 of 1 John. Let's read starting at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many, there's that word many again, many false prophets are gone out into the world. So, I'm supposed to put the religious teaching that I hear to the test. Isn't that what it says? Try the spirits. I'm not supposed to simply accept every religious teaching that I hear, even that claims to be Christian. I'm supposed to put it to the test. And boy, that's the trumpet call today of the modern false religions that claim to be Christian is don't test it, just don't put it to the don't apply critical thinking, just feel it. It's about feelings. You especially find that in the Pentecostal and Charismatic movement, but it's permeating other areas of religion today. Don't try to analyze it. Just feel it. Just go with your gut. Here's how you can know. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So he points out Jesus is the Christ, the one that confesses Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the anointed of God, the Christ. And it's God come in the flesh. That's a spirit that comes from God. The devil and his minions will never say Jesus is the Messiah and is God the Son. And every spirit that confesseth not, verse 3, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. You've heard it's coming, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Boy, I'm glad of that. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We don't have to be deceived by the spirit of Antichrist and their false teaching. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. And I think here he means we apostles. We are of God, that he that knoweth God heareth us. Whoever knows God listens to the apostles' doctrine, pays attention to what the apostles recorded for us, the faith once delivered to the saints. He that is not of God heareth not us. The spirit of Antichrist denies the apostles' doctrine. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So there's the spirit of Antichrist. We see it again in 2 John, just a few pages to your right. Verse 7, for many deceivers, there's that word many again. Many deceivers are entered into the world. Well, what do? Who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Look forward to the judgment seat of Christ when every believer will be given rewards for their service for God. And look forward to that with an eye that those rewards that you have earned, you do not lose. Well, how might I go about losing reward? Verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, which doctrine? The doctrine of Christ. Well, what doctrine is that? Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. He's the Messiah. He's God manifest in the flesh. If anybody comes to you, doesn't bring that doctrine, middle of verse 10, receive him not into your house. Does anybody come around to your house, knocking on your door, and brings a doctrine that Jesus is not God manifest in the flesh? What do we call them people? Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, among others. They're the main two. Come knocking on your door, bring a doctrine. According to Jehovah's Witnesses, Jesus is Michael the Archangel. According to Mormons, Jesus is the brother of Lucifer, the offspring of God. My goodness. Receive him not into your house. Okay, they come knocking. Don't let him in. Watch this now. Neither bid him Godspeed. Don't even tell him to have a nice day. Why? Because a nice day for them is converting somebody with their deception. Don't even tell them to have a nice day. Tell them, give them the truth and tell them to hit the road. 11, for he that biddeth him, we asked, how might you lose reward? How is your reward at risk? For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Wow. Wow. Why? Because he's an Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist is as old as the world. It's always been with fallen man. Since Adam and Eve in the garden sinned, the spirit of Antichrist has been present. It was, who does Jesus say was a murderer from the beginning? Satan. Who was the first murderer on earth? Cain. The spirit of Antichrist has always been with fallen man, but it will increase in intensity. John says, we know it's the last time because there's many of them. Well, there's many more now than there were then. It will increase in intensity as time goes on. It culminates after the rapture. It is actually embodied in one man, a single man who embodies all that man ever wanted to be without God. Human endeavor without God finally culminates, is manifest in the Antichrist. Because, after all, what is the opposite of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ says, without me, ye can do nothing. So what's the opposite of that? Human endeavor without God. We can do anything. We can do anything we put our minds to. Human endeavor without God culminates in the Antichrist. Now, let me say this. The Antichrist is the manifestation in the flesh of the opposite of everything Jesus manifested in the flesh. Antichrist is the final culmination of mankind apart from God, the final culmination of human effort and potential, and of man's desire to exalt himself. That's the Antichrist. So here's the question. What happens when man works without God? All throughout history, man tries to work without God. Man, go back to the Tower of Babel. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a name for ourselves. When man tries to work without God, let's see that. Let's look at Revelation 13, verse 2. What happens when man tries to work without God? Well, what happens to the Antichrist? He's the culmination of man's desire to be separate from God. Verse 2, Revelation 13, verse 2, and the beast which I saw, that's the Antichrist, was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Anybody remember, doesn't this sound so much like Daniel's description of the kings that culminate in the Antichrist? But watch this now. And the dragon, the devil, gave him his power and his seat, throne, that's the Greek thronos there, his seat, and great authority. So here's the Antichrist. He thinks, look at me, look at what I've accomplished, look at the position that I've gotten myself into, and I don't know if at this point he even knows that what got him there was the power of Satan. I don't know if he even knows it yet. Satan will indwell him at some point, but I don't know if early on he even knows. We see that in 2 Thessalonians 2, his coming is after the power of Satan. His coming is after the power of Satan. Here's what I want to say. Whenever man sets out, whenever man sets out to do anything without God, he can expect his efforts to be hijacked by Satan. Whenever man sets out to do anything without God, he can expect his efforts to be hijacked by Satan. The human potential movement, secular humanism, hijacked by Satan. Satan will take it over. Give me some examples of that. I gave you one example. I didn't mean to show that to you yet. Give me some examples. Man trying to work without God, and Satan comes along and hijacks it. Current events in the world today. And right on their website, they basically say they want a world without God. It's what, you know, Christianity and even monotheism in general is a construct of the Western oppressive society. We want to do away with that. We want to do away with the family, with husband and wife and male and female. This is man's effort. We want to build a great society. We're going to do it without God, and we see what's happening. Here's the example I gave, socialism. It's, we want to build a great society, this ideal society, wonderful society through human effort, through sharing. What's the result? In the 20th century, and not even really all the 20th, from 1917 through the 1990s, to further socialism, over 100 million innocent civilians were murdered by their own government. Whether we're talking about national socialism under Hitler, by the way, the Nazis were socialists. The Nazi Party, NSDAP, National Socialist German Workers' Party. Whether under Pol Pot, whether under in China, whether Russia, 100 million innocent civilians murdered, most of them who are already previously disarmed, murdered by their own government to further socialism. There's two ways socialism can maintain. Either increase the resources. That's what the Soviet Union did, just expand, or decrease the demand. How do you decrease the demand? That's the only way. We're going to build this great society. Human effort. We got to get rid of God to do it, because you got to look, you can't look to God for your supply. You got to look to the state. Who hijacked that? Satan hijacked. Whenever man tries to do anything without God, Satan hijacks it. You know what? We got to apply that principle to our personal lives. We try to accomplish something without God, we can just expect Satan to hijack that. You know, we got to apply that to religious life, the church. The church that tries to accomplish something without the power of the Holy Spirit can just expect Satan to come along and hijack that. Isn't that the apostasy in the churches that we see today? All right. Well, that's the Antichrist. We're looking at end time characters to know. I want to introduce you to another end time character. Look at Revelation chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Let me stop right here and say, the Bible is to be interpreted in a normal, literal, grammatical sense. What that means is, the Bible is speaking literally unless it tells you that it's not speaking literally. Here's an example where it tells you that it's not speaking literally. A great wonder, verse 1. There appeared a great wonder. Here's a great wonder. Let me see what I have. A marginal translation there. It says a sign. A great sign. John is pointing out to you. I've been talking literally about these judgments, but now I'm going to use some symbolism. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. Well, obviously that's symbolism, otherwise she'd burn up, right? And the moon under her feet. Well, she'd burn up and her feet would freeze. And upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Let me stop right here and point out who this woman is. You remember Joseph's dream, the sun, the moon, and 12 stars. And Joseph was one of the stars, and his father, Jacob, said that your dream is about your mother, your father, and your brothers. The sun, the moon, and 12 stars. Jacob, Rachel, and the 12 sons of Jacob. The woman here is Israel. Symbolically Israel. The woman is Israel. So let me just say this. So Revelation 12 is not part of the chronology of the tribulation necessarily. It's not shoehorned into a timeline of the tribulation. It's actually, the whole chapter is a panoramic view of history, with a view of Satan through history. We're going to see Satan. This is Satan's accomplishments through history. The highlights of Satan's career. In fact, I'm going to present it to you that way. I'm going to give you the devil's resume for employment to be your God. And she, the woman, Israel, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Who's the child? We'll see that it's Jesus Christ. Israel brought forth Jesus Christ. He was of the seed of David, of the seed of Abraham. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Here's some more symbolism. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it were born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Who's that? That's Jesus. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. When was that? After his death, burial, and resurrection, 40 days later, he ascended from the Mount of Olives. He was caught up, just like in the rapture, you and I will be caught up together with him in the clouds. He was caught up to God and his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. How long is that? 3.5 years. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Oh, here's a key to who the stars are, that the third of the stars that he cast to the earth with his tail, his angels. And prevailed not, verse 8, the dragon prevailed not, neither was their place, T-H-E-I-R, there, the place that they had, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Oh, now we know who the dragon is. Which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Let's stop right here. Let's talk about the dragon. The dragon. We're looking at end time characters to know. We've looked at the Antichrist. Let's talk about the dragon. He gives to mankind a resume to be, he's applying for the job to be your God. His name, Lucifer. His aliases, Satan, the devil, the dragon, and so forth. That's on top of every resume is your name and your current address. Job 1 tells us that his current address is going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. What's he doing while he's going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it? Looking to deceive, kill, and destroy. The thief cometh not but to kill, to steal, to kill, and to destroy, Jesus said in John chapter, is it 10? What's 1 Peter say? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's going to and that's his current address, going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. Go ahead, Mrs. Tiggis. Desires to sift us as wheat. He's going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. His permanent address, though he's not moved in yet, is the lake of fire. In Revelation 20 verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. He's cast into the lake of fire. That's his permanent, people get this idea that, and you see it on cartoons and everywhere else, that the devil's in hell. The devil's not in hell. He's on his way to hell, but right now he's trying to take people with him. He doesn't have to try too hard, because that's their default destination to begin with. The lake of fire, his permanent address. Contact information. How do you get a hold of him? Well, he'll seek you out. He's walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If you want to get a hold of the devil, you don't have to try very hard. All you have to do is make yourself vulnerable. Let's talk about that for just a minute. How do you make yourself vulnerable? Let's talk about the picture of a lion. He's a lion seeking whom he may devour. How many of you have ever watched, I used to watch Wild Kingdom. The one guy would hide behind the Jeep and the other guy would go to the lion's den and take pictures. What's a lion do? You ever watch how the lion hunts? Ambush, hides, and ambushes. And what does he ambush? Does he go after the bull of the herd? He goes after the weak. He goes after the straggler. He goes after the one that's been separated from the flock. Goes after the young. When the mom's not looking or the dad's not looking, he goes after the young. How do we, I'm talking about believers. I'm not talking about unbelievers. How do we as believers make ourselves vulnerable to that attack then? Mrs. Tiggis? By isolating ourselves, being apart from the flock, leaving church or laying out of church, getting kicked out of church, by the way. Paul said, when he kicked somebody out of church, I delivered them unto Satan. Being isolated from the flock, being straggling from the flock. How else? Yes, ma'am. By being deceived and ambushed by the hidden lion. Not knowing the word and being deceived by the spirit of error. About by being weak. What makes one weak? Malnourishment, not getting enough word. 7 days without prayer makes one weak. I love that pun. I found in my life, one day without prayer makes one weak. And so, contact information. You don't have to try very hard. He'll seek you out. He's applying for the job. His current employment, he greatly enjoys the status of the God of this world, or the prince of this world, or the prince of the power of the air. And he's in control of great political systems. Look at Revelation 12, look at verse 3. End of the verse, he had 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. He's in control of political systems. He's in control of kingdoms. He's in control of the halls of government. Matthew 4, verse 8 and 9, we won't turn there, but you remember when Satan tempted Jesus, he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, I will give you this if you'll fall down and worship me. Did Jesus say, it's not yours to give? No, he didn't, because it was his to give. He's in control of political systems. He's in control of society and culture. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 John, just to your left a little bit, 1 John chapter 5. verse 19. And we know that we are of God. I hope you know that today, that you're of God. And here's something else we know. The whole world. It doesn't say part of the world or most of the world. The whole world lieth in wickedness. And the literal there reclines in the wicked one. The entire world system is reclining, is resting in the lap of the wicked one. Well, how come society and culture seems like it's so satanic and devilish? Because it is. The whole world lieth in wickedness. He's in control of that. He has vast resources at his disposal. Back to Revelation. Let's look at his career highlights in Revelation 12. Verse 4. And his tail, the dragon, drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Let's talk about what that means. Satan rebelled against God. We read of his rebellion in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. Sometime before man's fall in the garden, we don't know when, sometime before man's fall in the garden, Satan said, I will be like God. I will be like the Most High. And he rebelled against God. And in his rebellion, he was able to take one third of the heavenly host with him. One third of an innumerable company of angels. What's one third of innumerable? A lot. One third of an innumerable company of angels followed Satan in his rebellion. He rebelled, and this is his career highlight. In his rebellion, he took a third of the angels with him. Look at verse 4 again. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it were born. He was watching. He knew the scriptures. He knew that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. He knew that Jesus was going to be born of a virgin. He knew that Jesus is the Messiah. And so his plan was, let's kill this child as soon as it's born. He motivated Herod, King Herod. What did Herod do? Went and slayed all the infants, every male child under 2 years old in the city of Bethlehem, killed him. Who motivated that? This verse tells us Satan was the one behind that. Satan was. By the way, the slaughter of innocent babies is always satanically motivated. My goodness, I don't know how anybody in their right mind, except with the motivation of Satan, can come to the idea that it's a good idea or that it should even be legal to cut a baby out of a mother's womb before it's even born and slaughter it and do the nasty, terrible things that they do. Look at verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. Two times John calls him that old serpent. That word old means from the beginning. See, Genesis chapter 3 says the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had created. Genesis does not tell us that the serpent was Satan. I had a philosophy teacher in college try to tell the class, the Bible never says that the serpent was Satan. Oh, yes, it does. Right here in Revelation, here and again in, later in Revelation chapter 20, I believe, it calls him that old serpent, that serpent from the beginning. He was that old serpent. Here's his career highlight. He motivated Eve to sin. I'm running short on time, but I want you to notice his career highlight. He now has access to heaven and God's throne room. Job 1 verse 6 the sons of God, the angels, appear before God, and Satan was there too. In Revelation, we find that he's kicked out of heaven. This is halfway through the tribulation period. He's kicked out of heaven. So he has access to heaven and God's throne room. And until he's kicked out, he's there all the time, constantly accusing you and me before God. It says, notice verse 7. Well, he's kicked out, but verse 10, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." He's standing before our eternal judge, accusing us. I'm glad. In fact, this is not in my notes. Let's turn there. Go over to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 1. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." Okay, we're not supposed to sin. What happens if we do? The devil accuses us. "And if any man sin," the devil accuses us to the judge, but look what it says. "We have an advocate with the Father," an attorney, an abogado, an advocate. "We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." The devil is accusing us night and day, and Jesus Christ is defending us night and day. Which one's God going to listen to? Amen. So his skill and ability. Let's finish this up next week. We're introducing the dragon, one of these end time characters to know, and he's got a resume for employment. He wants to be your God. He wants to be, he's already the God of those who know not Christ. But of all who profess to know Christ, he wants to try to be your God and to get you to renounce Jesus Christ. And even if he can't get you to completely and fully renounce Jesus Christ because you're eternally sealed, even if he can't do that, day by day, he still wants something from you. He still wants you to give in just a little bit. That's his desire. His resume for employment, we find it here in Revelation chapter 12, the highlights of his career, if you will. It's a panoramic view of the devil from before man's fall when Satan rebelled all the way through the tribulation period, the devil's resume. Father, thank you for our time in the Word of God today. And I just pray that you would help, Lord God, as we look at the Word, perhaps in a maybe in a way of novelty, Lord God, but that in a way that I pray would help us to learn the Word and be accurate, Father, in understanding what you have in your Word so that we can be better servants of yours by it. Now bless the church services today. Guide and direct. Lead in the preaching, Father, that your name would be glorified through what takes place in this place today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.